bring smiles to all when shopping online with Dell Technologies Gift Guide. Whether it's for the artist, the entrepreneur, the student, the streamer, or the gamer, you'll find the perfect gift for everyone on your list. Dell.com/gift guide makes gifting easy with a carefully curated selection of our best tech. Shop now to explore innovative laptops, desktops, and this season's top accessories. Plus, get select savings on impressive PCs like the XPS 13 laptop powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/gift guide today for details and get a jump on your holiday gift list. That's Dell.com/gift guide. Send us your ideas. We are open to any idea.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show with guest host Andrew Siciliano.
He is a brilliant creator. He's in charge of every detail.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show,
Raven safety Kyle Hamilton, MLB Network host Brian Kenny.
Coming up,
your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, sitting in for Rich.
And this man is a brilliant creator.
It's Andrew Siciliano.
Where did that come from? Anybody? Like, who put that together?
Is it Henry Winkler?
I'm pretty sure it's Henry Winkler.
Yeah, it sounds like Henry Winkler.
I don't remember him saying it, though.
Like, Barry?
No, from no. He was
from
here.
No, but he's here. He's been here twice.
You didn't
know
it.
You didn't know that we hooked him and Patrick Mahomes up last year?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. And it was in the Netflix quarterback show, and yes.
Yeah. Yep. Got it. Hi, everybody. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rich Eisen Show. Today is a Thursday. It is a game day. It is week five already.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
The Commanders try to go to 3-2 with the winless Chicago Bears coming to town. Can it get worse in Chicago? Tune in this evening and find out. Also, tune in coming up on Sunday on NFL Network, and it's also on NFL Plus. Rich Eisen, this is his show. I'm Andrew, sitting in for Rich today and tomorrow. Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner and Jamie Erdahl will be calling the game at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. The other game, the second game for week five, the Bills and the Jaguars. And he is live with us, live from London in a hotel room after a 4-minute nap between segments, after a red eye with two people talking with the lights on. Would not show up. Do you feel refreshed?
You're refreshed. I feel very refreshed. Thank you for asking. Yeah, we're here. I'm zooming with three Buffalo Bills in about 10 minutes time, 12 minutes time. Oh, nice. To prepare, because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Davis is another. Ooh. And I made this suggestion for this third Buffalo Bill. You know, Brockman and TJ have been hearing me talk about this guy for some time. I've never spoken to him, but his play speaks volumes. We're going to chat with Matt Milano.
Yeah, you are.
I love this.
Love him.
Yeah, I am. You know, right? I mean, because I just love the way he plays, and he was part of Sean McDermott's first draft, fifth round pick out of Boston College. And McDermott, when we Zoomed with him earlier today, I said, did he, you know, show any signs of becoming the player that he is today? And he basically said, you know, I had a really good track record of linebackers from BC. And I'm thought to myself, oh, that's right. Luke Kuechly, when he was the defensive coordinator in Carolina, got it.
Yeah,
I made that connective tissue right there. And the fact that he's even, you know, putting Milano in the same sentence as Kuechly just speaks volumes. I can't wait to chat with this guy. Because he's the guy that makes this whole thing go.
Makes everything work. The heart and soul in the middle of that defense. A defense that 2 weeks ago sacked Sam Howell and turned them over five times. A defense that took the Dolphins behind the woodshed last week after they had scored 70. Rich, this one's fascinating for me. Just to set up for the Bills going to London against a team, as we said earlier, the Jaguars, that have been there already for a week. Coming off such a huge win. With a statement like something told me that the Bills were getting sick of hearing about the Dolphins scoring 70 last week, right?
Yeah.
And they went out and they showed that on the field. Now it's, we get Von back, that's awesome, but we got to get on a plane and we have to go to London. And how that plays a factor in this game and what we see from the Bills after these two great defensive performances and really three great performances overall since week one in New York, I'm fascinated to see.
Well, the Bills have won three in a row, all of them by 28 or more points. That is tied for the longest such streak in the Super Bowl era. and the last team to win four in a row by 28 or more points in terms of margin for difference is the 1942 Bears. So the Jaguars are not a team, though, that can be easily boat raced. And that's what's pretty cool about this thing, is the Jaguars and Bills are both trying to repeat as division winners. And if you look at the rest of the, you know, landscape, not just in the week five landscape, obviously there's the Cowboys and the Niners, and I'll be back on tomorrow's show with my usual Friday fare of top five match, most intriguing matchups that I'm looking forward to seeing this weekend. Outside of, you know, that Sunday night game, this is on the marquee, and I'm psyched to be calling it. And then there's, you know, what Jacksonville currently stands at is a 2-2. And you look at the rest of the AFC South, everyone else is 2-2. And I'm seeing the Titans next week. I'm sticking around here in London, kind of pulling a Jaguar. And the Ravens come into town to take on the Titans in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And that's going to be a big game as well, because the Titans are coming in to London off of what they're going to be playing Sunday in Indianapolis, who's also 2-2. And the Houston Texans are 2-2 with C.J. Stroud doing his thing. So this is kind of one of those early gotta have it games. I'm not going to call it a must win game, clearly, because it's just week five. But getting this thing down pat where the Jaguars can put their calling card on the table against the hottest team in the AFC and the team that's atop my power rankings for AFC teams. I've got the 49ers as my top team on the top 10 power rankings. But this is a big one for Jacksonville to come in and say, yeah, you know, we lost two in a row. We already lost one at home to the Chiefs, another one of those teams that we can put our calling card on the table saying, yeah, last year's appearance for us in the Final Four in the AFC is not an outlier. We are part of this club. Lost that one at home, to come into Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this time as the road team, because this is a home game the Bills are playing on Sunday, technically. It's a pretty big one, guys.
Yeah, it's a big one, too, for the Jaguars, because I had said in the offseason, I know they're good, but how good? Are you just the best team in a bad division? Certainly playoff worthy, but maybe not championship worthy. Now you look at it, the division's better than we thought. They've already lost at home to the Texans here. To your point, the Jaguars got to put their foot on the gas a little bit, because they're not just going to, you know, cruise at 55 in the left lane here, easily win this division. There's a little more resistance in this division than maybe we thought back in June. Speaking of, real quick here, that Colts-Titans game, Jonathan Taylor, I want to play this for you, spoke today in Indy for the very first time since Jim Irsay had him on the bus back during training camp and came out and said, we're not going to give him a contract, and if both of us die tomorrow, the world goes on without us. Here's what Jonathan Taylor had to say.
Number one, just first off, feels really good to finally be healthy. I mean, number one, the whole time, the main goal was to be healthy. Everyone in this whole thing, the main goal was to be healthy, to go out there and to be able to do what I love, which is play football. So just going through that journey throughout this whole time, been a lot of things said and done, but at the end of the day, the number one overall goal for everybody was for me to get healthy. And I think everybody was on the same page with that one.
All right, so he says all the right things here. The ankle's good. I'm healthy. I'm ready to play football. Now, how about the do you want to play football here part of it? Mm-hmm. Here's what he had to say to that.
After the offseason again, when there were trade requests, whatever, how committed are you now to the team? I mean, are you here 100% and all that?
I don't think it matters on if I'm saying I'm committed or not, because I'm here. I mean, if somebody wasn't committed, they wouldn't be here. And right now I'm here, and my number one goal is to really attack this first practice. It's been over 290 days, I believe. I mean, when you're not doing what you love, you're gonna notice it. So it's been over 290 days. So my main goal has been to attack this first day. Yesterday was a walkthrough, so today is the, I guess, second first day.
Interesting. That plays differently now that you see him smiling than I read the quote earlier.
I know you read
Twitter.
The quote, because and I read it, you know, over here on apps and things of that nature. I hadn't seen that soundbite until just now, so I'm glad I got a chance to see it, because I've been talking about this subject for months on the program. It's just when it says, you know, I'm here, basically breathing, I can fog up a mirror That's the way it reads on a piece of paper. But when you see this, or you reads on your phone, when you see this, it's just another fresh reminder of just how delightful a human this kid is.
Absolutely.
And how easily you should be able to root for him, and how much of a damn shame it is that the running back market is viewed by National Football League ownership and management the way that it is, because these running backs are crucial towards wins and for wins and losses. And they also put their bodies on the line in the mosh pit in ways that cause them to wind up like Saquon Barkley currently over the last 2 weeks, and Austin Eckler like the last 3 weeks, not available. And I understand this is maybe part of the reason why they're not paid, but then you also see the Giants flailing for first downs and flailing at protecting their quarterback because nobody is respecting their run game without Saquon Barkley. I can guarantee you Daniel Jones doesn't get sacked 10 times and the Seahawks don't bag Giants 11 times behind the line of scrimmage on Monday night if Saquon Barkley is there running the football to make sure folks aren't pinning their ears back. And this is why guys like Jonathan Taylor should get paid, because Saquon Barkley missed the last 2 weeks, and the incentives that the Giants gave him to come in from the cold are now essentially dead and buried. And these guys deserve their money when they should get it. And I can't wait to see Jonathan Taylor out there, because it does appear that we're looking at him getting ready for Sunday. I cannot wait to see him next to Anthony Richardson, just to see what Shane Steichen, who is absolutely a man that appears to be ready for the job and the moment in Indianapolis, what will this offense look like with Jonathan Taylor in the same backfield as Anthony Richardson? What happens at the mesh point? What happens at the 5 yard line? What happens at midfield? What happens makes the Indianapolis Colts that much more interesting taking on the Tennessee Titans on Sunday and throughout their season? I'm so happy to see this kid back and seemingly happy and seemingly smiling instead of scowling because he didn't get his money. The same thing with Saquon Barkley this summer, cursing on a podcast because he's so infuriated by his situation. What I thought of when I saw this soundbite right now.
And I agree with you. It plays a lot differently on TV now that we see it than it does on paper. Context truly does matter. Don't believe everything you read on the Twitter or the X. That said, I know you got to get out of here. I know you got Bills meetings. Tell Josh Allen we said hi, please.
I will do it. I will do it. All right, guys.
And we'll catch you tomorrow.
Good to chat with you. We will do this again tomorrow. Have a great rest of the show.
Thank you, sir. Rich,
do you want to ask Gabe Davis about hanging out with us at the Bert Kreischer?
Yeah, you should do that too.
Yes, I will do that. Anybody have any fantasy questions I need to ask Gabe Davis or Josh Allen? Anybody?
Ask Gabe Davis to keep scoring touchdowns. That would be nice.
Okay. Josh said yesterday that he thinks Steph should have been Offensive Player of the Week, by the way. Josh was.
But who was it?
Yeah.
Who was Offensive Player
of the Week?
Allen
was AFC Offensive Player of the Week. He said it should have been Steph.
I have statistics right here.
There you go.
Rich, just tell my buddy Josh
Allen threw 4 touchdowns, added another on the ground. The Bills are 23-4 in games when Allen doesn't turn the ball over now.
There's another great one, too, that the Bills tweeted out. I believe Josh Allen's been Player of the Week 11 times. Double-check me on that. 6 of those 11 have come after beating the Dolphins.
Wow. There we go. I like it. Wow, and next, by the way, I hope that stat was worth it, because it's that white piece of paper that's causing a beautiful light bounce on my face on this shot that I for 15 seconds was not lit properly. So I hope the stat was worth it. You know,
totally worth it.
I think so, yeah. I mean,
thank you.
You did.
Thanks, guys.
You did
for the show. Hey, look, thank you, Rich. Just taking things for the team. That's all I'm doing.
That's all you do.
Thank you.
Well done.
Rich Eisen, everyone, live.
See you tomorrow.
On the Rich Eisen show. Getting back to that Jonathan Taylor thing, totally played differently on TV.
Totally.
You read the quotes, and you're like,
absolutely.
Whoa.
Absolutely. You're like, hey, geez,
but you read the quotes, and you think it's Rasheed Wallace. I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Right.
Right?
Both
now,
quite hard
Mark
Sean.
At the same time, I do think that's implied. I do think if he wanted to be here, he would have said, absolutely, I want to be here.
Sure.
He didn't really answer the question and shifted to, I'm happy to be healthy, I'm happy to be on the field. So what he didn't say
says plenty.
I think so. Yeah.
But he did it in a classy, smiling manner. And to Rich's point, Jonathan Taylor is and should be one of your favorite people.
Yeah, he is that guy. He is classy.
He's a classy dude who some of the stuff he's done in the offseason, like I read a couple of years ago, I think he did something where maybe it was with Under Armour. I'm not sure with whom. Where you like drop yourself on a mountain for like a week and you gotta like escape or like some or kind of survivalist thing. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was, but he does some really out of the box off season training. That doesn't make him a nice person or a classy person. He just also is that as well. Yeah. Love the guy. Love the guy.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor. Look, get paid when you can get paid. See J.K. Dobbins. See Nick Chubb. See Jonathan Taylor. Injuries are real in this league, regardless of your position. But when you are carrying a team on your back, you have a far, 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 far more likely chance of getting injured. The Nick Chubb thing, to take a brief aside here on the running backs, or a different running back, is really interesting. Nick and I had this conversation back in August when I was there in Cleveland doing an ITC show, an Inside Training Camp live show on NFL Network. So Nick Chubb's big guarantees are done after this year. So they could get out of the contract. He's going to be 28 next year. There is money on the deal. It's like $14 million, $15 million next year for Nick Chubb, potentially. But there is an inflection point on his contract after this season. And I said to him, long before the injury, have you thought about this? Because you're the ultimate test case. If you put up another 1,500-yard season, and if you're Nick Chubb again this year, then what happens next offseason when you're 14, 15 on the books and you're going to be 28 and it behooves the team to redo that deal for cap purposes and to give you a third contract? He's already on a second. What happens? And could you actually be the standard bearer for getting a third contract? Like Saquon and Jonathan Taylor trying to get their second contracts. Nick already got that. Trying to get his third. And he said, basically, yeah, he nodded. He had thought about it. But obviously focusing on the season. Now with his injury, and he may not be ready week one, even if he is ready week one, best case scenario, there's an inflection point on his contract this offseason, and they have to make a decision. With a lot of money already committed to guys like, obviously, the quarterback, the defensive end, and others. Excuse me. Sorry. Still getting over something.
Bless you.
Anyway, that's the quarterback. That's the running back contract that you need to watch. And I don't blame Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins or anyone fighting for a contract because we see what happens. All right. Coming up next on the Rich Eisen Show, we've really only hit a game or two. I know it's only Thursday, but let's get to some of these other games. Also, Rich mentioned must win. Joe Burrow used must win in a sentence yesterday willingly. We have that for you coming up on the Rich Eisen Show. Do not go anywhere. And it's my time now to tell you about Game Time. Talk about a time where you've had a frustrating beg my pardon. Ticket buying experience. We all have. Brockman and I were talking about one this morning, actually, before the show. You can't find last minute tickets. No good deals. Yeah. Well, we have an answer for that. It is called Game Time. Everybody, check out the app. Go through it. And you will see that Game Time is a ticketing app that you need for any major event, not just games, for concerts, for theater, for anything. Check out the Game Time app. It takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. Game Time. Download it at the App Store. Create an account on Game Time and use the promo code RICH, R-I-C-H, and you get $20 off your first purchase. Obviously, restrictions apply. I have to say that because, of course, they do. Go to gametime.co for the terms. Again, download the app, Game Time. Create an account and then use the code RICH, R-I-C-H, and get $20 off. Best place to buy tickets, period. End of conversation. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Rich Eisen Show, everybody. What Joe Burrow said next.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow.
Wow, great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous. Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2, now streaming only on Disney Plus.
Susie Schuster and Amy Trask present offbeat conversations and expert sports commentary as they ask, what the football?
When my family found out how long it took me to figure out why Charles Woodson named his wine Intercept, they said, there's a reason that you had trouble in school.
You know, not everyone knows, you know, when they think of a bottle of Intercept, they don't know that I play football.
Well, what I've learned is a smooth defensive back can make smooth wine.
That's what it's all about.
What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. The podcast is available Tuesdays, wherever you listen.
Stephon Diggs here on the Rich Eisen Show. Josh told me when I interviewed him for the pregame show prior to the AFC Championship game that you and he are brothers, but very competitive, like that you actually compete walking down the hallway to see who can walk the fastest. Is that true? Is that really a true story?
That story is true. Actually, he caught me one time walking from the weight room, and I was like this, like, why is he walking so fast? So I sped up a little bit, and then he continued to spit it, and then he just took off. So I was like this. Obviously, there's a competition between quarterback and receiver, and it'll never stop. So
really?
This is something I'm never going to give up. We compete on video games, who has the most kills and who carries who. It's just I think it makes for a great relationship, though.
No, I hear you, and I ask this question with the utmost of respect, Stephon, so please understand that. Talking about walking down the hallway fastest and playing video games, what are you guys, five? Are you guys 5 years old?
Gotta be 5 years old, and we're writing on the walls, getting in trouble by... We'll be joking around in the walkthrough, and then you'll have Coach Daboll come in, and he's super serious, but at the same time, he jokes sometimes, and he'll crack a joke and be like, all right, knucklehead, get your butts back to work. And it's makes for a great environment, great work environment.
How are you a different guy now through this season than you were when you were acquired?
It's different. I feel like I'm the same guy. I just feel like my surroundings are a little different. You know, I was dealing with a younger quarterback. You know, a lot of the guys that were pretty much are established or were in the league for a very long time. I was dealing with a young, charismatic, big heart guy that want to jump over linebackers and run people over and stiff arm people. I was dealing with a quarterback that's young, and I came at a great time to grow with. So it's just, you know, all situations are different, but this one was one that it coincided and it worked well.
Hey, everybody, it's the Rich Eisen Show. This is not Rich. I'm not Rich. I'm also not Rich Eisen. Both can be true.
You're wealthy.
Hey there. TJ, you're funny. You're really funny. First of all, wealthy is above rich.
I know.
That's true.
Rich Eisen, two different things. Above the word rich, wealthy is higher than rich.
Shaquille O'Neal is wealthy.
Yeah. Shaquille O'Neal is wealthy, yes. Well, once investing $250 million in Google when it was only a $100 million company.
$250,000.
As they say, the guy who pays Shaq is wealthy. Shaq is rich.
Shaq's got $400 million.
Shaq got at least.
On that Google deal.
I'm talking about an old joke.
Right. Like, if you win the lottery for $1.4 billion coming up this weekend,
which is going to happen to
you're
me.
Rich.
I'm wealthy, dog.
You're not wealthy. Dave Phipp, the Lions special teams coach, was asked this morning, what would you do if you won the lottery? And he said, what would I do? I'd probably call more fakes.
Great. No, I don't care if I get fired. I'm going to fake everything.
More fakes.
Isn't that a great answer?
That's funny.
Like, so many good answers today on the podiums.
That's great.
Before I get to that, I'll tell you that this is the Rich Eisen Show desk here. It is furnished by Grainger. It is fantastic. It is sturdy. It is great. And with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you as well. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Wink Martindale, Giants defensive coordinator, was asked about, are you sleeping well getting ready for the Dolphins tonight? Or rather, Sunday. He said he's sleeping like a baby. Quote, every 2 hours I wake up and cry, go to the bathroom and try to get back to get more sleep. I'm sleeping like a baby. And then there is what Joe Burrow said yesterday. Joe Burrow said that this week's game in Arizona,
facing the fighting Josh Dobbs, the fighting Jonathan Gannons, is a must win. He went there. Said it was a must win.
I agree. Don't you agree with him?
I do. Here's what else he said.
You know, that's not gonna get anybody anywhere. So you just adapt to what you're dealing with, adapt to how you need to play, and you take that week to week, day to day.
Probably you've been through a lot over the course of your entire football career. Is this maybe the toughest stretch you've been through?
It's been a tough couple weeks, that's for sure. But we're gonna get through it. We got tough, resilient guys in there. We got mentally tough guys that have been through a lot. So we know how to handle these situations. It's tough right now, but we're going to get through it.
He said a lot of things yesterday. Also said, and here's the biggest headline, that he feels better after this game on a Wednesday than he has the entire season. So that's a good sign. That's a good sign. For an offense that truly does appear broken, not just broken as it did last September, when they figured it out, and they were fine, and made it to the AFC Championship game, but more broken because he can't move, because his leg, in essence, is broken, his calf is broken, and they can't move him out of the pocket. It is difficult to watch, but he did say it was a must win. Now, we don't have that soundbite, but I'll play it out for you. Went like this. Reporter was almost like unsure about whether or not they should ask it, and he said, Joe, do you guys in the locker room feel like this is almost... And then he dragged it out. Must win game for you guys. And before he got the last part for you guys out, Joe cut him off and said, yes. And they said, why? He said, well, for the locker room. He said, for the rankings. He meant the standings. But just overall, we need to win this game. I commend Joe Burrow for admitting the obvious. I commend you. Thank you. Now, somebody would say, well, what do you want him to say? No, it's not a must win. I don't care. It's fine if we lose. Like, it's fine if we lose. Nah, it's good. He can't say that. What he could say, what most people say is this, I'm not going to get boxed in on this. I'm never going to say any game is a must win game. It's a long season. This is the game ahead of us. We want to win. Right? But I think he also realizes the Ravens are 3-1. They've lost to the Ravens. Ravens get the Steelers this week, but not the point. They have looked bad. The Bengals aren't just losing. They have looked bad. They need to win. The Rams should have beaten them, to be honest with you. Sean McVay should have gone for it on fourth down. He should have. Rams should have beaten them. I don't know why you didn't give Zach Thomas help when Alaric Jackson got hurt playing left tackle. A lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda. You could do a lot of. There have been 64 games played in the NFL so far this year. All right, 64 through 4 weeks, right? Yeah, 64 games played.
Correct.
There are a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda so far. All right. One of them is in that game in Cincinnati. Rams should have won that game. Bengals would be winless right now. To their credit, they're not. They won. Yay, good for you. But I think they have their hands full this week in Arizona. I don't think Arizona is the team that beat the Cowboys, and I don't think they're the team that lost as badly as they did to the Niners. I think they're somewhere in the middle, clearly. They are not the worst team in football like we thought at all. But you with Joe Burrow, even Joe Burrow in one leg, should go on the road and beat this team. You should. So, yeah, it kind of sort of is a must-win game. I commend you, Joe, for being honest. But there's always the flip side, which is if you lose, then how do you answer next week? I am never, ever worried about how Joe Burrow can handle the podium. He handles it as well as anybody. But I am worried about how well he could manage a pass rush because he can't move. And it is difficult to watch. I mean, it is really uncomfortable to watch, unless you're a fan of the other team. But it's also one of those ones where what do you want me to say when you ask me that question? Sorry, there's a bug here. I'm flicking a bug away.
But he cut the reporter off or answered the reporter, kind of finished his statement. He didn't actually say it's a must-win.
Correct.
Game. So,
but he embraced saying
right.
Yes.
Right.
He could have cut them off and went, oh, come on, we don't need to go.
Yeah,
there.
Hey, it's week Guys, five. We don't need to do this
it's
now.
It's the
blah,
first
blah, blah.
Week of October.
Right.
He cut him off to say yes. Yeah. I'll say yeah. Sure.
And if you look at the standings, and it is not too early to look at the standings. That's actually a good question. When is the earliest you look at the standings? Like I say for baseball, don't look at the standings until the 4th of July. I know that sounds absurd, but look at how many teams. Look at the Mariners, right? Look what the Phillies did last year.
Right.
There are so many teams. You got time, even at the 4th of July.
Well, Andrew, I'm a Mets fan, and we're usually good until the 4th of July, so that's when I like to look early, just so I'm not disappointed.
Or TJ, do your holidays. Look at Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Look at the 4th of July.
Yeah.
Those are your two early benchmarks. When do you look in the NFL? At the quarter pole? We're not really at the quarter pole. I hate to math here.
Halloween kind of sounds
good. We're not technically yet.
Halloween kind of sounds good, right? That's about
Halloween's halfway.
That's about halfway.
You can't turn anything around at the halfway mark, though, bro.
Man.
Halfway, 8 games into the season.
The Dolphins did 2 years ago. The Jaguars have.
Patriots 2 years ago.
The Patriots.
If you're 3-5, you can still turn it around.
You could turn it around.
The Bucks, the year they won the Super Bowl, they were 4-5, right? And then didn't lose another game.
Okay, I stand corrected.
I just think if you look at the divisions here, Baltimore, let's say the Ravens win, which is far easier said than done, right? Let's say the Ravens go into Pittsburgh and win, they're 4-1. The Ravens will now be 3-0 in division, all three being road victories,
right,
so you get them again at home.
Yeah.
Right? The Steelers will have beaten the Browns, but now you lose to the Ravens, right? So you're 2-3. The Browns are 2-2. They have a bye. They lost to the Ravens. They beat the Bengals. They lost to the Steelers. They're 1-2 in division. Right? But they have the head-to-head over the Bengals. Bengals need to win this game.
Yeah.
It's not a division game, but they need to win this game. Now, the Browns have a tough one when they come back from the bye. Browns get the Niners at home next week. Yeah, you're coming off a bye, but can Deshaun throw?
Right.
Don't know. And that's a whole nother thing. Shoulder gate, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, medically cleared, but not comfortable enough to feel.
Can I opine on this?
Sure.
Okay, so Andrew Berry, the Browns GM, had a presser yesterday.
Andrew, Browns fan.
I'm a Browns fan, sure. And he talked a lot about this. There is this narrative, and not just in Cleveland, but it's going on in Cleveland right now. It's around the league. That if you are medically cleared to play, if you don't play, there's something wrong. Like, that's on you. Like it's your fault, right? Like, I have heard from people.
Like, you're not tough.
He refused to play. Semantics matter. All right? Like, let's talk about language here. Here's what medically cleared to play means in NFL terms. It means you're not going to make the injury worse if you go out there. And liability-wise, we feel comfortable as an organization that cares about A, our investment, but B, your health as well. Equal. We care about them equal. We feel comfortable telling you that you can play football today. Right? That's what clear to play means. Liability. Like, hey, doctor, do I still need to use the crutches? Well, it depends how you feel. Like, you can't hurt it anymore, but really it depends how you feel. That's what clear to play means. That doesn't mean the guy could throw, and that doesn't mean he doesn't have shooting pain in his shoulder. I don't know if either are true, but cleared to play means we feel comfortable enough morally and business-wise to tell you that it's okay for you to play football today. Doesn't mean that he can play it well. Doesn't mean it doesn't come at great pain. And it doesn't mean that he could be effective. But it means morally and investment-wise, we feel comfortable checking the boxes and saying you're okay. That's what it means. Guy said he couldn't throw. Okay? So this narrative, he refused to play. Let's get rid of that, please, because that's unfair for any player. I also don't like the pain tolerance issue. I've had coaches tell me, off air, I never like to use the phrase pain tolerance. Because it sends a message to our fans, and maybe even our locker room, that if he doesn't play, therefore, he couldn't handle the pain and he's not tough enough. Language in describing these injuries truly does matter. I'm not saying the Browns messed it up at all. I'm saying that if a guy couldn't throw, he couldn't throw, medically cleared or otherwise. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, the issue with the Browns is, well,
did you get the other guy ready enough? And did you lull yourself into a false sense of confidence that Deshaun was going to play because he said he was going to play, and then you took the field kind of unprepared? And that has to be unpacked. I don't know the right answer, to be honest with you, but that's what the sports talk radio and the angry fans are going nuts with in Cleveland right now. Well, okay, then why didn't the other guy play better, and why weren't you more prepared for the other guy, right? But if Deshaun woke up and said, man, I thought I was going to feel better, like he told Mary Kay Cabot of the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, whatever they call it right now, Friday, off to the side, yeah, I'm fine, I'm going to play. But then it gets to more layers, like Barry asked yesterday, do you think that was just false bravado, like because he had never been unable to play? Like the guy took a bus 10 hours with a collapsed lung.
Right.
Remember that?
Yep.
Don't question his toughness. Like, of course I am going to play. Like, you're tricking yourself. But then you wake up and you're just like, oh, I can't do this.
I can't lift my arm.
I can't lift my arm.
Follow through with shooting. Right. You know, it's to do that for 3 hours.
Right. But don't give me the narrative, please. He refused to play. That, I don't like that. I don't like that. All right. It's Andrew Siciliano sitting in for Rich. I've yet to give the phone number out. 844-204-RICH. I haven't given that out yet. Coming up, I'm told TJ has fantasy advice.
Let's go.
Yeah, buddy?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Are you ready for TJ's fantasy advice? Am I breaking? I don't even know the break. This is the first show. First, okay, we're walking through. Yep. Tell me to break. Okay, tomorrow, I'm going to have this clock.
You got a couple minutes.
Down. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, we got 2 more minutes if you want.
This is thrilling TV
if
and radio,
want
isn't it?
2 more minutes.
Right? It's like pulling back the curtain and telling you how it actually works.
How the sausage gets made.
Hoskins says to break.
I mean, he's in charge.
He's in charge?
I mean, I'm with you, but he's kind of in charge.
Break in charge. He's in charge. TJ's next.
Millions of listeners and thousands of 5-star reviews rave about the hit podcast series In the Red Clay, the unbelievable story of Billy Sunday Burt, the most dangerous man in Georgia history.
He was a whiskey man, bank robber, hit man. He was a murderer. He's also my father.
Seasons 1 and 2 are available to binge right now, and bonus episodes are coming soon. Imperative Entertainment presents In the Red Clay. Get the podcast wherever you listen.
Are you still playing fantasy football? You still doing that?
Not really, no. I'm in a league, but I don't control it. One of my buddies controls it for me.
Well, because I know we've had conversations about this before, and that there are some interesting, tasks that the loser of this league must undertake. So are you, if you lose, even though you're not part of the day-to-day?
Oh, yeah. They'll hold me to it. Absolutely. I don't even know if I could tell you who's on my team right now, but if I were to lose, they would absolutely hold me to it, and we'd have to go take care of business.
What are some of the fails that I guess that you have to do? What are some of the responsibilities of the losers of your league? What is
last year the loser had to go to Alaska for a day.
What do you mean? Like for a day?
Yeah.
For a day?
Yeah.
Okay.
We went to a place called Nome, Alaska. Actually, where the Iditarod it goes through there, I think.
Yeah. So the loser,
flood race,
regardless of the geographic spot in the United States, would have to, for a day, get on a plane and proof of purchase of the ticket, and then take a photo. Like, how do you?
Oh yeah. I mean, there was tasks involved. It was, I think he went in March.
Okay.
But it was a whole thing. And that was just 1 year. That was just last year. This year it'll be entirely different.
What other previous years? Any other examples? Because that's amazing. You have to go to Nome, Alaska.
The year before, the loser, Barstool Sports does the Rough and Rowdy, the boxing deal. He fought in that. At the Super Bowl, the year we were there, he was fighting in the boxing on Friday night before the game there.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This is you do not want to lose your fantasy league, Jeff.
No, you don't. No, that's why I try to put a lot of faith in my buddy that's running the points.
That's great stuff there with Jared Goff, and that is the best fantasy league ever. Fun fact, I ran into Jared Goff this offseason.
Where at?
Like, I physically ran into
Jared Goff. Where you were going and bumped into him?
Yes, I physically was not, I was not looking up. I
mean, he's like 6'4".
Yeah. So Jared makes his offseason home near my place here in Los Angeles, and I was walking down the street looking at my phone, and like, bam! And he saw me coming, and he was like, like, oh, I'll stop and say hi to Andrew, and waited, and waiting, and then all of a sudden, I feel these arms on my shoulders, because he, like, grabbed me. He's like, dude! I'm like, oh! Hey! He's like, hey, yeah, you never looked up.
Way to be aware of your surroundings,
yeah,
buddy.
Beware of my surroundings walking down the street on the sidewalk. Anyway, welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. I'm Andrew Siciliano sitting in for Rich. Guys, back to my speech therapy classes at Sunrise Valley Elementary School. Stream the NFL on Westwood One for free. Tonight's game included, by the way, TNF, Commanders and Bears, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open WWZero Sports. Is it WWO or WWZero? WWO, Westwood One, but Zero could also be, yeah, it's Westwood, WWZero. Thank you. On your Westwood One affiliate station digital platforms. That's right. Stream Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Rich all season long for free. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I am playing Sam Howell this evening because I am in a two-quarterback league with 14 teams.
That is crazy, absolute torture.
It is the most fun-less. Is that English? It's not. I've never been in a fantasy league that is less fun, but this is my league for the last 20-something years, and you know what?
Who's your other quarterback?
Yeah, who's your two?
Oh, don't even begin. I had... No one cares about my fantasy team, Chris.
That's not true.
No one cares about my fantasy team before TJ's fantasy advice here. I had Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if you heard. He's hurt.
Yeah, I heard that.
And so my quarterbacks now are Sam Howell and Desmond Ritter.
Oh, God.
I understand.
So I need fantasy advice. I need fantasy advice. And for that, ladies and gentlemen, TJ is here for his Thursday fantasy advice. It is brought to you by Prize Picks. TJ, hit me.
You know what's funny, guys? Looking back, October the 10th, 2014, it was the first week of the Rich Eisen Show, first week that this show was on air. Rich was away for Thursday Night Football. You were hosting, Andrew, and I came on for the first time ever and gave fantasy advice. And now here we are, 2023, doing the same thing again. It was
just circle,
symmetry,
man.
Full circle, man.
Symmetry. Let me tell you who's him.
You don't look a day older, TJ.
I know, right? It's black don't crack, bro. What can I say? Brian Robinson is him. I'm just going to tell you guys that. You were talking about Sam Howell. I believe Brian Robinson is him this week as the Commanders take on the Bears tonight. Brian Robinson has scored at least 13 PPR points in three of the four games that he's had this season. A great matchup going against this Bears D that is not very good. The Bears have allowed six running backs to score at least 13 points this season. And I got to be honest with you, I'm not looking for them to stop Brian Robinson tonight. So I think Brian Robinson is him. No, I don't think Brian Robinson is him. I know Brian Robinson is him. Don't usually like to give you guys Thursday players, but I think we're safe to say Brian Robinson is him tonight going against the Bears defense.
Can I add some Brian Robinson flavor here to
this?
Please do. So the Bears and the Commanders played last year on TNF. Does anyone remember the game? Barely. Of course you don't, because it was awful. It was a 12-7 game.
Oh, that explains it.
12-7. Commanders beat the Bears. Okay. Of course they did. That was the first career start for Brian Robinson. Remember coming back from that horrible thing. We got shot last year on the streets of D.C.
It was like a carjacking attempt, right?
Well, not a carjacking, but it's just shot.
Or a robbery attempt?
A robbery attempt. Yeah. That was his first career touchdown against the Bears. It gave them the lead and helped them, TJ, to your point, beat the Bears. Tonight's game will be better than 12-7.
I think so.
I agree.
Also, a guy who we just spoke about a few minutes ago, Jared Goff against the Panthers. I got him. Jared Goff is him. I don't say his name very much as a start, but we got to give this guy a little bit of respect. In 9 home games last year, Goff averaged 27 fantasy points a game, and he's averaging 25 in 2 games at home this year. So I think he's a nice play going against that Carolina Panthers defense. Jared Goff is also him. Now, I tell you who's not him, Andrew. That's Trevor Lawrence. He's not him. Not against the Bears. Not as well as the Bears. Or, I'm sorry, the Bills. I'm sorry, not the Bills. I'm still stuck on the Bears. Not as well as the Bills' defense has been playing. I don't think Trevor Lawrence is him. Look, they held Tua to 15.9 fantasy points when they played, and that is the most that any quarterback has scored against them. The Bills' D is rolling. I'm not really sold on Trevor Lawrence this week, so I'm going to say he's not him. If you've got another option, use it. That's just my personal opinion.
Trevor Lawrence threw for only 207 last week, which, TJ, to your point, is a season low. However, he didn't turn the ball over.
True.
But 207,
that's not very good.
For not going to win you many fantasy leagues. Yeah.
So if you've got another option, ride with it. But otherwise, if you don't, then you just got to stick with Trevor. Also not him, I got Drake London. Desmond Ritter, you brought him up.
Time out. Drake London scored a touchdown in London last week.
He did, but he's been at 31 yards or less in 3 of his last 4 games this year. And, you know, Ritter's not helping Drake London's fantasy production. And also, only one wide receiver has scored a touchdown against the Texans this year, who the Falcons are going against. So, Drake London, to me, he ain't him. I'm sorry, he's not. And but you know who might be him, guys? Jaleel McLaughlin.
Ooh.
Running back of the Broncos going against the Jets. Now, we know Javonte Walker's hurt. It's going to depend on how long he's out. But Jaleel's a guy who a lot of people feel is going to slide right into that RB1 position and do work. And the Jets allowed Tony Pollard over 100 yards last week. Ramondre and Ezekiel, they rushed for 139 yards when they played him. So, and of course, Isaiah Pacheco destroyed me in fantasy last week going against this Jets defense. So Jaleel McLaughlin, he's probably available on many, many waiver wires. He's a guy, I say he might be him, looking to grabbing him. And also Tyler Conklin, tight end for the Jets. They're going against the Broncos. And the Broncos made Cole Kmet look like, you know, Tony Gonzalez meets Rob Gronkowski last week. And I feel as though, you know, Zach Wilson proved, Andrew, he might be able to do this quarterback thing.
If you throw out I'm with you. The thing is, for Zach, do it again. Like, I'm not trying to take away from what he did. The Jets need him to do it again, and then again, and then again, and then again. The Zach Wilson that we saw to start the third quarter, like Dan Hanzus, our colleague at NFL Network, right, huge Jets fan.
Huge.
Dan came back, and after Zach was, you know, throwing darts all over the field in the third quarter, tweeted, I was taping a podcast, like, wait, what did I miss? Third quarter Zach Wilson, not the first quarter.
He was hitting back shoulders.
Yeah. Third quarter Zach Wilson, where he's playing with swag. I hate that word, but a lot of people said when he came out, he's got the swag. He's playing with confidence.
Quick,
let's go. Third step, ball out, 3 and a hitch, buddy, let's go. Confidence and some swagger. If they could get that guy again, yeah, it's about getting it consistent.
Yeah, you know, and 2 tight ends have scored at least 10 points a game against the Broncos. So, look, Tyler Conklin, he's another guy whose name doesn't get thrown out a lot. But look, Zach Wilson might need a security blanket. Tyler Conklin, he might be him.
I need a tight end this week because David Njoku is on a bye. Browns are on a bye. First team, by the way, first week with teams on byes this week. Yep. There are 4 teams on byes. The Chargers, the Hawks, the Browns, and the Bucks are your 4 teams this week with byes. TJ is him, and his fantasy advice and the fantasy football update is sponsored by Prize Picks, the number one daily fantasy sports app ready to test your skills. Join the Prize Picks community. You must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. I am picking up Jaleel McLaughlin, by the way, in my league as well, or at least I'm putting in a waiver claim. I may or may not get him. We use, you know, fake little waiver money to get guys. But in all seriousness, do you know Jaleel McLaughlin's story?
I don't.
Okay.
Talk to me.
Let me get this.
He's not related to the McLaughlin group guy,
he is
right?
Not related to John McLaughlin, nor, for that matter, Jack Germond back in the day on the McLaughlin group. Nobody? I'm
or
too
Jaleel
old.
White. He's not related to him either.
Or not related to Jaleel White.
Jaleel White.
All right. So here's what Jaleel McLaughlin is. He's 5'7". Mm-hmm. He's about 185.
He's you.
Oh, I've lost a lot of weight. I don't lift weights anymore. I'm like 5'7 and 142. Ooh, I am geez. Tiny these days.
Wow.
I'm a tiny human. Jaleel McLaughlin at 5'7, 185 is the most prolific running back in the history of American organized college football.
I did know that. Yeah.
Wait, really?
Nobody has run for more yards at the collegiate level than Jaleel McLaughlin.
Any level.
At any level, at any time.
1A, 2, 3.
Jaleel McLaughlin.
NAIA, 8,200
yards rushing, I believe, is what he tallied.
I'm going to get the number for you.
Wow.
Jaleel McLaughlin.
I mean, just off the top of my head, there's been a lot of good college running backs.
Nobody knows it. Okay? So, his story is amazing. He made the Broncos as an undrafted rookie free agent.
Did Ron Dane have that record? Who knew?
Nobody.
He
started, so as a kid, he went through a period of homelessness. His mother was trying to you know, feed the kids and trying to be a great mom. And she had lost her jobs and she was bouncing between jobs. And he grew up in a car at times. Like there were times where Jaleel McLaughlin was sleeping in a car.
Yeah, hotels,
okay?
Motels.
Like
relatives.
Truly
houses.
An amazing story. He ended up with call it a scholarship, whatever, at Notre Dame College. Like D3 here, Notre Dame College, this little school on the east side of Cleveland, blew up there, eventually went to Youngstown State, blew up there, ran for over 8,000 yards. Nobody has run for more yards than any other human in college football than Jaleel McLaughlin. Go get him on your fantasy team. Anyway, for Chris, for Jason, for TJ, I'm Andrew, in for Rich.
See you tomorrow, buddy.
Fun. Let's do it again tomorrow. Okay, Ross Tucker joins us after the game. See it.
Every Monday, Rich Eisen and Chris Brockman react to what's happening in the world of football on Overreaction Monday.
Dolphins, Final Four AFC team.
Oh, that is not an overreaction at all. I'm with you.
You're in.
I am in. The other three Final Four teams, if you were asking me to call my shot, this
is
the Overreaction Monday podcast.
Call your shot.
Entertainment purposes only, unless I'm right.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins, Bills, Ravens.
Ravens.
Final Four.
Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you listen.